Wow. There's a question in God's Word that I have the privilege of knowing the answer to it. And that question is in Proverbs 31, verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. I have found a virtuous woman." Mm-hmm. She's going to teach the word here, okay? And I tell you what, I would encourage you to read Proverbs 31 about a virtuous woman, and especially you married folks, and if you have a relationship with somebody. But I'm excited that Jeannie's going to share God's word. I know God has worked mightily in her heart to present this material to you on the dependence of God. So welcome, Jeannie Linfelt.
Thank you. Please be seated. Wow. Everything is built up to how good our God is, our Father. Today I'm going to share on the dependence on the Father. Jesus made the statement many times that he could not do anything of himself. In John 5:19 through 20, John 5:30, John 8:28. We're going to look at John 5:19 through 20. He said, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel.'" The Son can do nothing of himself. And we look at the whole Gospels and see all that Jesus Christ did. And it says at the very end that if all was written what he did, that the earth could not contain the volumes that would be written. So, but marvel at this. He only did the Father's will. It wasn't in his own abilities. The Son can do nothing of himself means his actions and judgments are perfectly aligned and authorized by the Father. This declares total dependence on the Father. I've always thought, if Jesus only did the Father's will and his Spirit lives in me, isn't that what the Father desires in my life? Think about that. How do I do this? Certainly not in my old man nature. This is what we're going to look at today. The greatest strength available in the world is dependence on God Almighty. We need to see from heaven's perspective what our Heavenly Father desires in our lives, for our lives. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that you might know me, the one true God, and my Son, Jesus Christ." And that knowing is an intimate relationship. God didn't plan a building to hold him. Could a building hold God? We have all these wonderful buildings, beautiful buildings. He chose his dwelling in us because he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. The key is dependence on our intimate relationship with the Father and our big brother, Jesus Christ, our example. We abandon the idea of performance before the Father and develop a love relationship of who he is and the plans he has for us spiritually. You know, he chose us before the foundation of the world to be his very own. And he had a plan when he chose that. There's no time restrictions in his portfolio or in his plan for mankind. He knew us before we even were a twinkle in our parents' eyes. Romans 8 reveals that God doesn't want our behavior to improve before giving freely to us. a God who intercedes for us, justifies us, and overwhelmingly conquers on our behalf. What would change if we genuinely believed that victory is always a response, never a requirement? And we're going to look at Romans 8 a little bit later through that. All of God's promises are designed to inspire us in our dependence of Him. Think about that. We can take Him at His word. Everything that He says in His word is ours. Being led by the Spirit means we only do things the way God wants us done, wants them done. You know, we don't have to, okay, I know God wants me to do this. We want to ask Him, how do I do it? How do I approach? Who do I talk to? He's very much a part of our lives. Submission is important. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Submission is where we make ourselves vulnerable to the goodness of God. And you saw through all these songs, manifestations, how God just is a father that wants to love his children and to provide for him. As a parent, I want my children to be blessed. I won't deny them anything that would bless them, if it's possible. Submission is a joyful act of surrender to a beloved Heavenly Father for His own purposes, His plans for us. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God, an acceptable will of God. We have to change. It's not in our old man that we're going to develop this great ability to love God. But in fact, the old man, without the Spirit, does not understand God's love. It's foreign to him. But we, being born again, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, believed in our heart God raised Him from the dead. We are saved. We're not of this world. Our address is eternity. Eternity, heavenly, bound. The enemy cannot stand against God's loving abandonment for us. Abandonment is total surrender, loving without holding back. He does not hold back because we did something wrong. He just loves because He is love. And you know what? We are in His image. So shouldn't our responses be love? Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, what did He do now? We don't think that. We think, praise God. I've got a brother or sister in Christ, and we're one body, and every part of that body is important. So why not build each other up, and especially in our minds? Because we don't think about, maybe it's not coming out of your lips, but it's you're thinking it. And that's where the devil hits us, in our thoughts. So we need to think what God's word says. God works in us and through us. He has equipped us with the whole armor of God. We are complete in Christ. We boldly come before the throne of grace. The door's never closed. There is no fear, no place for fear, worry, or doubt when we are dependent on the Father, but power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't that what we want? That's what we need today. There's a choice here. Fear, worry, or doubt. I think you can find that from the old man, from the world around us, but with God, God's nature, His love surrounding us, we have power, love, and a sound mind. We have to put our pride, our natural man aside, and live in the new nature, Christ dwelling, indwelling. In God's love, we are who we are. That's who we are, love. We are secure, God in Christ in you. We are completely reliant on His grace and mercy, on His nature of love and unchanging heart for us. If you remember Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. God can't change. He is all good. Every gift is good. We rest in our inheritance of who we are in Christ, and the trust and obedience that the Father is always for us. Wednesday night, we looked at different blessings that God has given us. And I think the one, God topped them all with Ephesians 1:3. It says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, how much is all? Every spiritual blessing. That means every promise that He has in His Word is for us. That's the biggest Christmas gift you ever could get. All spiritual blessings. He's that way. He wants to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. I always like that. He wants to bless us. I think that's great. But exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. So where is our thinking? We need to really rise up in our thinking of who He's called us to be, who He is to us, what He has provided in Christ. And then we'll start to see amazing things. We'll see signs, miracles, and wonders. We'll see the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Galatians 5:25 is a great verse. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step walking with the Spirit, the Father with hand in hand with His children. That should be our image. We got that Spirit. God's living within us. So I'm just putting my hand out. He's right here walking with me. I have that confidence because we're speaking His words. You know, He said in the very beginning, let there be light. What power was that if turned on? But when we say, God loves you, God has prepared a tremendous life for you, His plans for you are perfect. We say that to someone else, that's a blessing that they can receive. And if they have the Holy Spirit, they can really receive it. So that's why we want to teach God's Word. We become confidently relying on Him as a child does with their parents. Isaiah 49:15 is a great verse. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the son of her womb? You know, that's a very intimate relationship, a mother with her child, especially when you've got 9 months where you've prepared everything for that child, and then when it comes out, it's like, they are totally dependent on you. Well, we should be totally dependent on God because this world is not our home. We're just a foreign ambassador here. We're really representing heaven. But we want to move heaven on earth, and we do that with the Father. Hebrews 13:5, the Amplified version, is just fantastic. It says, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you. This is God speaking. This is what His words were. Nor desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I, in any degree, leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So we take comfort and encourage and confidently say, the Lord is my helper in time of need. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And that's God's commitment to us. He will never relax His hold on us. Doesn't matter what you've done. He will never leave us helpless. And we are encouraged by that. Isn't that wonderful? So what can man do unto us? Good question. There will never be anyone who loves you more or wants the best for you than your Heavenly Father. Tell yourself that when you start to be afraid. There's no one more that loves you, that will take care of you, that has the ability to take care of you. Depending on Him will bring you ever-growing joy. And Jesus had tremendous joy in the craziest way. We never would have thought physically that you could do that, but it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured suffering, humiliation, because he knew the Father had a plan for him. And the Father never left him. He was always with him, encouraging him. And he had angels that would have taken care of him too. So the Father has so much available for us. So never think that you should ever feel lost or alone. Look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. They were ordinary men and women who trusted God. They carried on assurance of God's heart for them and walked in believing toward looking for the promise of the Lord's first coming, which he promised in Genesis 3:15. Trust is believing in the Father and his word when physically things look impossible. When you believe God is bigger than any problem and you are what the word says, more than a conqueror, that is believing. Hebrews 11, believing is a title deed, the proof of your ownership of things not seen. I love Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. He's right here. It's not like we got to go find him. He's running over someone, taking care of someone else. He can take care of the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? Not what the song is. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. It's not about how strong we are, but how powerful the Lord is in our lives. The internal presence of God in Christ enables us to overcome the external pressures and the attacks of the adversary. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Grace is resting in God's power when our weaknesses get us in trouble. You know, we'll say, oh, I should never have said that. But you know what? He forgave us. Peace is confidence in our God and who God is for us. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and be thankful. When we feel overwhelmed with our circumstances, like needing healing, feeling defeated, discouraged, we look to Christ who gave us his peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now these are all tremendous things that God has prepared for us. And he continues to remind us of all these things. So one of the things we need to do is put this word of God that is passed generation after generation, the prophecies of Jesus coming, all that God is doing for us is all here. But if we don't put our head in the word, we're going to miss out. So let's turn to Romans 8, and we're going to look at some questions. Bob started a question today. We've got some more questions that God has put in here. Of course, that one was from God, too. Romans 8:31. We see how good our God is. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us a few things? All things. You know, he doesn't miss a thing. Everything. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to charge you saying you did something wrong? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? How dare they talk about God's child like that? Right? That's what he's saying. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Or distress? Nope. Or persecution? Nope. You can put that in if you want. Or famine? Nope. Or nakedness? Nope. Or peril? Nope. Or sword? Nope. We'll go to verse 37. Furthermore, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's who God sees us. We are more than conquerors. Maybe we need to have t-shirts or something, or glasses that say that right on the lens, so so we don't forget. Because it's so important. We get defeated if we start looking at the world. So turn off your TVs. Turn off the things that are giving you fear. And put on the word that gives you power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. Are we persuaded after hearing God's word? Yes. So we are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And how much love of God was in Christ Jesus? He agreed to give up his life for us. I don't know if any of us would give up our lives for another, but that's the love of God, and nothing is going to separate us from that. Every measurement, there's no loose ends anywhere. Our core message today is God's love is an unchanging foundation for our lives that we can always depend on. Your security in Him, on His character, is not based on your performance. Knowing this provides absolute confidence and allows us to build our identity in His goodness rather than our mistakes or shortcomings. The last verse I want to share with you is in Psalm 34:8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him. So have those smiles, because happy are we that take refuge in Him. He is our Father. He has created us to be in this time and hour to share the message of who He is. When Jesus came, He shared the message that God was His Father. And they didn't like that. So we are God's precious children that loves with abandonment. He will not change. He will do everything for us. So let's enjoy that love, and let's love one another with that same love. So Father, I thank You for Your tremendous word and how it has changed each one of us so that we can be Your perfect children, that we can be righteous before You. And we can be righteous in our own eyes, that we don't have to allow the world to have any influence on us, but that You are always faithful. And the Lord Jesus Christ has provided all for us that we can have that peace in the midst of the crazy world that we live in. So I thank You for blessing Your people. Thank You for everyone here, showing them how precious they are in Your sight, and that there's nothing You won't do for them. Thank You for all of our families and for all the families around the world that are all joined together by Your love. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Wow.
Thank You.
Thank You. Great job.
And the band was practicing this morning, and they had their last song, and I said, could you please play it at the end of my teaching, because it's just... Daddy's Arms is called. It's just perfect.
Give us a second here. We'll make a transition.
Sometimes my days can seem so long. Everything I do seems to turn out wrong. I look all around and stare at the ground, and I just can't find no help. I can't find no answer. I'm climbing back into Daddy's arms and start it all over again. It's the only way my broken heart can mend. Well, he loves my problems right out of me, makes my blind eyes able to see. Then I finally remember, God has never forgotten me. Yes, I finally remember, God has never forgotten me.
Okay. Well, great message today, huh? We have a loving Heavenly Father. We can just lock into Him each and every day. What a future we have, huh? So let's live it and share it with some other folks. We need to get this word out. People need to really know how much God loves them, and we know. And we can share it with others, okay? So let's have a great week this week, depending on our Heavenly Father, and loving Him like He loves us. And let's love some other folks as well. Okay? God bless you guys.